Hello. What is it? It's Wednesday. That must mean it's time for the Context Machine. That's episode number 577, a palindrome. I'm Brian Chaffin.
Oh, my God. No, it is not. Anyhow, I'm Jeff Gamet.
I don't know why that means.
And I actually know what a palindrome is.
I do too. Listen, I'd like to officially
I don't think this word means what you think it means.
Yeah, you're not the boss of me, sir.
Well, I can't argue with that because, well, I just know better. I do, however, accept your apology. And
turning that back on me.
Oh, I do. Oh, I do. hey, you know, as long as we're doing an introduction, yeah, we might as well.
Wait, hold on. Is that what this is?
Well, and people keep listening. I'm just at a loss. Brian, we actually do have a minimally viable product version of our website.
Oh, an MVP. All right.
We actually have an MVP. Yes. Contextmachine.io is live and it does work. So you can go there and actually find shows. And if you like listening to shows right in your web browser, you can do that now.
It's ugly.
Well, it's MVP. So...
right.
I'm pretty sure that's what I was saying.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. And if you're listening to this episode, it was because it was published from our new site. We would, you know, let's take a moment out, thank the Mac Observer, Dr. Kurtz and Dr. Butler for letting us continue to post there while we very slowly got all our ducks in a row. Really appreciate them letting us continue to have posted there for so long.
Mm-hmm.
That's MacObserver.com.
And in our defense, yes, MacObserver.com.
Yeah.
Yes. In our defense, Brian,
yeah,
we believe it or not, chose to move slowly so that we wouldn't make everything implode and just have to start over. And
the illusion that we don't know what we're doing. We had everybody convinced that we just don't know what we're doing. You just destroyed that. We have put in like more than a decade into carefully crafting that facade. In a moment, you just struck it down. You just like whoosh. You just pulled the.
I can't believe I did that. Yeah. I just ruined the whole thing.
All right, but you can use contextmachine.io. To reach us.
Which may or may not work because we don't know what we're doing.
You can reach us at contextmachine.io or you can reach us on Twitter at contextmachine.
Yes. Brian, we have sponsors today.
Two of them.
We have two of them. ZocDoc.
Yeah, ZocDoc, right. And LinkedIn Jobs. We're going to tell you about both a little later in the show. You know, we had a script. We didn't really follow it, but we had one.
No, this is true. However, I have to point out, just to restore people's lack of faith in us, the last line in the script, and I quote, Brian, colon. That means that's where you were going to speak.
Uh-huh.
And LinkedIn Job. Uh-huh. We'll tell you about both a little later in the show.
Listen, I already put the S in my copy. And since it was my line, I didn't bother correcting yours.
Oh, I get it. It was a silent S in my copy.
It was a silent S in your copy. Today's show, believe it or not, we actually have a topic. And that topic is...
I thought we were about to do sponsors and then wrap up.
It's iPad and Apple Books versus Kindle and the Kindle Reader. More specifically, we're going to talk about the different reading experience, and I'm sure that we'll go off onto some tangential or even parallel issues, but the general theme is the reading experience between the Kindle ecosystem and Apple's Books ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think that's great, and I'm just going to share with everyone right up front. The catalyst behind this was when I realized the battery in my iPad mini 4 was so shot that I just have to stay plugged into a power cord pretty much all the time to use my iPad mini. Replacing the battery is $100, but unless I want to do it myself, and I just really don't. And then I, by chance, just got one of those one-day deals that Amazon does where I could get a Kindle, one of the $90 Kindles, for like $45. And I thought, you know, $45 is an acceptable experiment. And it's cheaper than putting a new battery in my aging iPad mini 4.
Or buying a new iPad.
Why not?
Or buying a new iPad.
Or buying a new iPad, right? Right.
All right. So I mean, there are definitely some like multiple issues here. For instance, there is the issue that I've talked about for many years, where I believe that Amazon is destroying quality in in published books or self-published books, bringing the quality of the overall quality of all but the creme de la creme of published books, certainly, and how as a reader that distresses me, while acknowledging that I'm sure that there are far more people who are just loving the fact that they get ever cheaper books to read and don't care about the quality or don't care about the same things that I care about at the very least.
Yes. And I absolutely appreciate that. The other side of that is for a lot of people, having an ebook reader device has made reading books more accessible to them.
Yes. I readily and heartily acknowledge, including the various subscription things that
subscription things for books
that Amazon offers through its Kindle platform. Okay, so there is all of that for sure, but the main focus of our conversation today is about the reading experience. And I'm going to be honest, I am going to be talking out of my rear end to at least some degree because I do not have a Kindle device, though I do have the Kindle app and have read books on the Kindle app on the same iPad that I read Apple books on.
Well, the fact that you are just admitting right up front that you'll be talking out of your ass for part of this is for most of our audience, simply us telling them what they already know. We do have a track record, Brian.
That is a fair point. Okay. So here is my opening salvo on this.
Okay.
I believe that Apple's Books app offers a superior reading experience. It feels more like reading a book to me. And I did not move away from paper books because I do not like paper books, but just because of the overall convenience of being able to, you know, like essentially to have my entire library with me on my iPad. And I also did not move to book was the books app, well, the iBooks app, because it was originally called the iBooks app. Was that introduced with the first iPad or did that come out later? I forget now.
I can't remember now.
History of Apple's iBooks. Let's see. iBook. Oh, that's the other iBook.
Yeah. An inherent problem with Apple's branding. Yeah,
indeed. Because January 2010 and September 2018 is, it was called iBooks, and iPad was released in 2010, wasn't it?
Well, let's just fire up Mac Tracker.
A history of
and see what iPad. It says.
It's good. I'm glad we did our research ahead of time. Yeah, 2010.
Well,
yeah, okay. It was okay. They were essentially launched roughly at the same time.
Yeah, which that does make sense because the iPad is a really nice ebook reader experience.
It is before the Books app and before the Kindle app on iPad. You had Kindle readers that were these dedicated mm-hmm. hardware readers, and that's what you just bought, right?
Right. Right. Okay.
So I haven't used the Kindle reader, but tell me what you think about reading on it. And before, okay. And then after you tell me what you think about reading on it, tell me what you think about reading on it compared to reading on an iPad.
I am more than happy to do that.
Okay.
All right. So just to set the stage here, the ebook reading that I do, from the iPad is an iPad mini, and my 10.9 inch, whatever it is, iPad Pro. Mm. I do have the Books app on there, mm-hmm. but I don't actually ever use it there. So this would be comparing, reading on the iPad mini and the Kindle that I bought is one of the e-ink screen models, so not color, and it's the 6-inch screen. So the entire device is about the size of a paperback book. So it's a much smaller screen.
Than iPad Mini or iPad?
I know iPad it's smaller Mini, than iPad. Smaller than iPad Mini.
Oh, smaller even than iPad Mini. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, like I can set the entire device, the entire Kindle device, on the screen of my iPad mini and still see screen around the edges of the Kindle.
I see.
So there's an inherent limitation right out the chute. And I was okay with that because this for me was kind of an experiment. And I figured if I really don't like the thing, I have family that would be really happy to have sure. this. And then I would just pass it on.
Sure.
And so this is not something that I would use for anything other than recreational reading. And that's because the screen is small enough that you don't have as much text as you would on a regular page. So you're changing pages faster than you would on the iPad mini. And if you were doing something that involved like a reference book where you might have diagrams and stuff, I think that this specific Kindle would be a bad experience for that. Now, a larger screen Kindle, something that's like the comparable in size to the iPad mini, mm-hmm. I think that would be a different story. But the 6-inch model, this is definitely a casual entertainment reading device.
Yeah, I haven't looked at, like, say, a dummies book, you know, with pictures and diagrams and stuff mm-hmm. on the back of each one detailing the... Mm-hmm. I haven't looked at one of those.
You know, you can get anything you want, anyhow.
At Amazon. See how I brought it full circle there?
I see what you did there.
Okay, got it. So I haven't looked at a dummies book or, you know, like a math book or a science book or something like that that might have tables on e-ink. Does e-ink display any of that stuff at all?
E-ink is surprisingly awesome. The resolution on this little Kindle mm-hmm. is just, it's wonderful. Like reading text, it looks like it's been printed on the screen. And I haven't bothered to go through the process to get rid of the ads that show up. Mm. But it's like looking at black and white photographs.
Mm. There are ads?
Like it is.
What are the ads for?
Well, it's like, here's an interesting book you might like. That that's
what, and where do they show up?
That's what it is. It's on the like the lock screen.
Oh, okay. All right. So, and it's, so not, it's not popping up while you're reading.
Oh no, no.
Okay. I say that because I recently have seen ads during Amazon Prime streamed movies and TV shows.
Oh, I'd start flipping tables.
I just turn it off
if I saw that.
And if I wasn't a Prime subscriber, you know, you remember that company that I was complaining about? Amazon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a Prime subscriber, of course. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If I was just an Amazon Prime Video subscriber, I would cancel it 100%. I will not. If they're going to show me an ad for something that I'm streaming, it's gone. I'm going to turn it off.
Oh, I would be livid. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I'm not interested in increasing Amazon's profits. Amazon makes a crap ton of money and is destroying much of society in the process. I don't feel the need to indulge their need to make more.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether or not you and I are giving them money. They're still going to find a way to make all the money. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's true. So
I guess what that means is, Brian, you're not obligated in any way to throw money at Amazon. And yeah, there you go.
Well, so,
but hey, this e-ink screen, holy crap.
So I've looked at I've never used one, never owned one, but I certainly have looked at them back in the day. And I will readily admit that text looks good on e-ink. It looks a lot like paper and printed text to me. That's mm-hmm. how I recall it. I haven't seen the new device yes. you're using. And I can only assume that despite Amazon's perennial and forever rush to the bottom, that they have still managed to improve these e-ink screens for your new device.
If you want the really nice e-ink screens, then you're getting the Paperwhite models.
Right. But maybe that's what I've seen.
Standard.
And those, that did look good.
The Paperwhite screens look amazing. And the regular e-ink screen looks really, really good too. Like good enough that when I am reading on this thing, that I really can't distinguish what I'm looking at from printed text. Mm. The obvious tell, besides the fact that I'm holding this little Kindle in my hand, is that it has a backlight built in. Okay. So you can read in the dark.
Okay, that is good. How is it from the standpoint of changing, like, you know, you quote unquote turn the page, you go to a new page, and there was an obvious lag the last time I looked at one of them. Super annoying.
There's still a lag, and unless I'm completely misunderstanding how the technology works, uh-huh. overcoming that lag is going to be incredibly difficult, because what you're doing is redrawing the page, and it's static. So it's like you are physically flipping all of the pixels on the page between on and off every time you turn the page. And so the screen uses power to redraw, and then it stops using power. So like if I let my Kindle die, and so no charge in it at all, whatever was on the screen last time it redrew, that's what stays on the screen. So you have a little bit of a lag because of the redraw. It's pretty fast though. The part that bothers me about it is occasionally instead of just all the text changes on the screen, the whole screen goes black, like it draws everything black and then redraws it again. And that takes a fraction of a second longer, and it's just annoying to see. So all that doesn't happen all the time.
All of this is part of why I have felt and argued that reading in the Books app is a more pleasing experience. And that's because
it's definitely more natural feeling experience.
All of these things that you just described and that I remember from looking at the Paperwhite devices is it takes me out of the book. Now, one could argue that turning the page, like I've got the page curl effect turned on in books. Mm-hmm. And, I will often partially have the page turned while I'm, getting to the bottom of the page and then I'll finish flipping it like I would have with a real book. Now, one could argue that that's something that could take you out of the book too. But the thing is I have decades of reading books where that's what I'm used to. And mm-hmm. I would say that Apple's Books app is much closer to duplicating the traditional printed book experience than anything that Apple's doing, than anything that Kindle's doing, including these standalone Kindle devices, including the Paperwhite devices, and including the Kindle app in iPad.
I agree. And I mean, with the display and the processor that you have in an iPad, by its nature, you're going to be able to do more with it. And it shows because you can do things like put your finger in the corner and start sliding across. And now the page starts to curl. And as it's curling, if you look closely, they even do the thing where you can kind of see the bleed through the ink. So, mm-hmm. so the letters are kind of backwards. I mean, all those little details are there. And that's a really cool part of the experience. It's also color. So you can do more with the books that you're publishing for the device. Like you can have color graphics and you can have color text if you want.
Color maps.
And
I read a lot of fantasy and science fiction, so color maps.
And full color maps, right. And those are all great features to have. Absolutely. And that's not something you can match with a Kindle. Now, I do have a Kindle Fire. It's like a 7-inch screen that I have for some testing.
Yeah.
That's
their iPad competitor.
Yeah, that's their little iPad competitor.
Their would-be iPad competitor.
Yeah. And I got it because I needed a cheap device to do some Android app testing on.
Sure.
And so I went ahead and thought, well, why don't I just look at some books on this? And I loaded a couple books on it and immediately was like, nope, nope, nope. I will never read a book on this thing. Because the resolution it's nice, but it's still low enough that you can tell you're looking at a screen. Whereas when you look at an iPad screen, yes, it's a screen, but the resolution is high enough. It feels like you're looking at actual text and not a bunch of pixels strung together to look like text.
Right. All right. Hold on. So listen. Are you finishing up a point?
Let me finish up a point.
Yeah.
Yes. So the Kindle, the e-ink Kindle, mm-hmm. not the Fire, mm-hmm. the quality of the screen on this for reading text is fantastic. I am very pleased with it, and it's not even the Paperwhite version.
Right. All right. Fair enough. Listen, let me tell you. I've got. I want to take this in a couple other directions, but first, let's talk about our sponsors. Let me start with the LinkedIn Jobs. So, with LinkedIn Jobs, you can create a free job post in minutes. It'll reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 770 million people. Then you can add your job and the purple hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to help spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions. These things make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why, possibly, small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. And the thing that I like the most is the dashboard, where you can keep and manage and view and use all of the job postings that you have, the people who have applied for them, the various candidates you have. You can manage the entire process all from the dashboard. It's very easy to use. And goodness knows, hiring has probably not been harder in our lifetimes in the United States, at the very least. So LinkedIn Jobs is definitely something you should check out. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. For instance, did you know that every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? You can post your job for free.
Wow.
40 million. You can post your job for free. For free at LinkedIn.com/ACM. That's LinkedIn.com/ACM to post your job for free. And of course, as always, terms and conditions apply.
But also, let's talk about a problem that a lot of us have with doctors. And that problem is you need to find the right doctor, and it can be such a pain. I mean, you know what you're looking for in a doctor, and just like going through the normal process of trying to find a doctor that fits that profile, what you're looking for, man, what a headache. So ZocDoc came along and realized, hey, we all have that same problem. And so they figured out what all of those big pain points are that we're all dealing with, and then figured out what's really not working with the process of finding a quality doctor, and decided to come up with a system that actually makes it easy to find the doctor you need. So here's the deal. ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient reviewed, that take your insurance, and are available when you need them. So you can just hop into this app and find exactly what you're looking for in a doctor and cut out so many of the headaches that go along with finding the right care provider for you. So what you need to do is go to ZocDoc.com, that's ZocDoc.com/ACM, and download the ZocDoc app for free, and then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. And many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/ACM, ZocDoc.com/ACM. And hey, thanks to ZocDoc for being a sponsor.
Indeed. Thanks to also LinkedIn Jobs. We appreciate both of you very much for sponsoring this week's show. So here is my there was another thing I had to that I think that that Apple's Books beats the Kindle app on iPad, the same iPad, and also beats the various Kindle standalone reader devices, and that is changing font size. It's smoother and faster. And I mean, it's just done. And the making notes, highlighting and making notes is easier, more natural on the book, the Books app. I think that the nighttime reading, at least on the versus the Kindle app, I don't know about the Kindle readers. I think that is also superior on the Books app. Like just all of these, they just make it, it makes it easier for me to read. It's more natural for me to read all of these things. That having page numbers, I hate Kindle's whole weird numbering thing.
I do have page numbers on the Kindle.
Are they doing that? Are they doing that now?
Yeah. But I get what you're saying, because there's the thing where it was just like a percentage of the book. And you're like, I just want to know what page I'm on. But yes, like, okay, what book do I have right now on this thing? Come on. Helps if I actually pick it up first. Okay. So, yeah, bottom left corner, it says page 10. Bottom right corner, it says 1%.
Well, having both is definitely better than only having the percentage. I never like that whatsoever. I'm looking at my very slowly updating. No, I'm not going to rate you. Ugh. No, I'm not going to give you notifications. there's a book. I've got 100%. Why do I have 100%? I have 1 minute left in chapter 97%. Where do I turn on these page numbers that you tell me about?
I don't know. It's just right there.
Well, you had to have turned it on because it's not on by default.
Maybe that's the difference between the device versus the iPad app. Let me go look at Kindle on my iPad.
Yeah, I'm looking. See what it's showing. I looked at the settings in preferences, or in the settings app. I mean, and it's not there.
Yeah, I can tell you the only thing that the only setting that I changed.
Yeah.
On the Kindle device was turning down the brightness for the backlight.
How many? Okay. When I go to the, like, I guess when I tap on a page at the bottom, I get page 234 or 248 with 97%. But when it's just the page, I'm getting 97%. So like I tap on a page and it gives me an interface to go to other pages, a very unnatural looking interface where I'm scrolling left to right.
Mm-hmm.
And I do get page numbers there. I mean, it's just that listen, is it doable? Yes. If you like Kindle, rock on. If Kindle is the only reason why you can read books because they're less expensive or whatever, all of that stuff is valid. But if you have the option to choose, in my opinion, the Books app gives you this much more natural reading experience. And it's not even close to me.
All right. So looking at this, comparing reading the same book on the iPad mini versus the little screen Kindle. Mm-hmm. It is nicer to have the bigger screen of the iPad mini.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
And in this case, I'm reading the same book, one in a Kindle app on an iPad, one on a physical Kindle.
Yep.
And doing it that way, the experience of just reading, I'm actually really liking on the little Kindle because it's stripping away all the extra stuff.
Okay. What about,
and it's just like
compared to the Books app.
It's not a fair comparison because the Books app can do so much more.
Well, of course it's still a fair comparison.
Than a physical Kindle.
No, comparison has to be fair? Which is better?
Well, I'm saying that as a statement. It's just not a fair comparison because you can do so much more with the Books app. It can make that reading experience much better depending on what you're reading. So if I were to pick a single device, I would pick the iPad mini. The reason I would pick it though is not because I feel like I'm getting a better reading experience in the Books app versus the Kindle app. No, it's because I can put all the apps on the iPad mini. Yeah, so enough. I can have all the platforms.
Right.
Whereas on the Kindle, if I'm just buying books from Amazon, great. But if I want to buy books other places, then then it becomes this process. How do you actually get those things converted into something you could put on the Kindle? And that's kind of a pain. So living in just an Amazon ecosystem, I can see where a Kindle could be a great thing. I mean, holy crap, battery life alone.
Well, how about lightness too? It is much lighter than an iPad.
Oh my God, it is crazy light.
And if you read on your back in bed, that can be a huge thing.
Yes. And I found that, granted, an iPad mini is not a heavy device. But just like sitting on the couch and holding the device one-handed, which means I'm holding it at the bottom, it is much more comfortable to hold the lighter weight Kindle.
Yeah, sure.
And if I were to read in bed, I'm actually more likely to read in bed with this Kindle. And that's because I tend to sit up more, but I don't take my technology into the bedroom because I don't want to have all of that, the stuff that goes along with it, coming into the bedroom with me. So I don't want to be on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and checking email and stuff while I'm in bed. And even though I tend to be pretty good at not doing stuff that I don't want to,
so many opportunities,
it's still there.
So many
and I'm still probably going to get notifications and yes, I know I can do not disturb, but the point is I can take the Kindle with me into the bedroom and read a book. And that's literally all I'm going to be able to do with it. And that part is compelling to me. And with the battery life that's measured in weeks instead of hours.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Although I don't find it difficult to keep my iPad charged. At the same time, I'm reminded of me dismissing my buddy John Martellaro's arguments that lifting lifting your watch to your face to speak to Siri is also not burdensome. So my point is that you're making a very good point.
Yeah, thank you. So when I look at the two devices and compare them, I'm finding that I'm preferring each of them in different scenarios. But like I said, if I was in a position where I had to pick a single device, it would be the iPad mini because it gives me so many more options overall.
Of course. So now I can say this is not really a fair comparison though. I mean, cause it costs exponentially more than just getting a Kindle reader. So, you know, that argument works for those of us who have the disposable income to make the choice. And there are certainly people who don't. And
right.
For a lot of those people, Kindle reader might well be the difference between I can read ebooks and I cannot read ebooks. And that's valid.
Yes.
Okay. I've got one other thing to. Am I interrupting you? I feel like I am.
No, go ahead. I want to hear you one other thing.
Okay. That was like such a passive aggressive slap down. One that I completely and totally deserve. Now here, check this out. Amazon designs its devices to sell product.
Of course they do.
Which is fine. I don't think that the reading experience is probably ever much of part of the design process. And with Apple,
I have to disagree with you, but continue.
Well, I mean, the evidence of the end product certainly backs this up. Either they're incredibly inept Amazon is incredibly inept at designing for the reading experience, or they don't care about the reading experience. What they care about is moving books and moving all product. That's the only thing that they're interested in, is moving more product, having more market share in all of the things. They don't care about what happens to the manufacturers. They don't care about what happens to, in the case of books, to book publishing. All they want to do is move more books. And if the end result is that all books are self-published, all the better for Amazon, because it's, you know, it's the they make a little bit of money on everything that they sell. And at Apple, who is obviously even better at making money, the experience does go into the design process. And I think that that holds true with books. I think that evidence suggests there are book lovers who are working on the Books app. And I don't think there's any evidence whatsoever that book lovers have much of a vote on the Kindle platform.
Okay, so I think we need to clarify that you're talking about, at least I believe you're talking about, the iPad apps, the Books app from Apple and the Kindle app from Amazon.
Yeah, probably right? the Reader app too. I am not including the Kindle Reader in that criticism.
Yeah, so the Kindle device itself, my tiny little ebook reader that I'm holding in my hand now. I would venture to say that Amazon took a look at how they were designing this and designed something that is first and foremost a tool to display text for you to read.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it does that very well, because the text looks great. It is very clear. It is super sharp, and you don't have junk getting in the way. You want to read the next page, just tap at the edge of the screen, and now it draws the next page. And the redraw, it's less than a second.
Okay.
So, you know, but occasionally I do get the thing where it's like, well, now it's drawn black on the screen, and it's obvious that it's drawing and not the screen just shutting off.
And your mileage,
if the screen shut off, it wouldn't change.
Your mileage may vary, and everyone else's mileage may vary. I find that pulls me out of the book.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, when that happens, it's annoying and pulls me out of the book. At the same time, the overall experience is like surprisingly good on this little device that it sells for what, $90. But like I said, watch for deals, and you can pick one up like I did for like $45 and $50, you know, somewhere in that range. And that's a much more affordable way to get into an ebook reader. And if you are going to stay in Amazon's ecosystem, of course, the whole thing is designed to keep you in their ecosystem. The other side of that is Apple looking at Apple. Thing. Yeah. Their Apple's whole thing is keep you in the Apple ecosystem.
Yeah. And for sure.
And they make really nice devices to entice you to stay in their system.
Address my point, though, that Apple appears to be taking the reading experience into account when it designs its books app. And that Amazon, at the very least, doesn't give that as much import or weight.
I will agree on the Kindle app on the iPad. The Kindle device itself, no, I won't agree with you there. I think this device does what it's supposed to do. It's a one-trick pony, and it does that one trick really well.
Huh.
Like I am genuinely surprised when this thing showed up. Oh my God, we have to talk about the buying experience before we're done today. When I got this thing, I took it out of the package, very skeptical. Like I was expecting that I'd play with it for a few minutes and either just do the I need to return it thing on the website, or you know, call a family member and say, hey, do you want a Kindle? And it turns out I ended up burning through a book that I had been reading for a year. I read the last third of it in like 3 days. Mm. And you know me well enough to know that's like actually crazy enough that you should wonder who I am and what happened to the real Jeff.
That's blazing fast for you.
Yes. And yes. And I got to the end of the book and I'm reading the books in the Expanse series. Ah. And so I got to the end of the book and there we go. I can just tap the button to buy the next book in the series. And it says, do you want to start reading now? And I tapped yes. And I had the first page of the next book. And it was that fast.
Okay. So Amazon's prioritizing the selling of more books. I still don't think they're prioritizing the reading experience. Not from what
they're
I remember
definitely using prioritizing selling books, but they have also done, regardless of what they're prioritizing, they have done a really good job of making a good reading experience on the Kindle device.
All right. So what do you think, readers?
And I know you're not going to believe me, but that's okay.
Are they listeners? What are they? Are they reading this? How does this work? Viewers? Hello? Are you out there?
There are little contexters.
Listeners, tell listen, I'm going to get the hang of this thing. This is episode 577, a palindrome. I'm thinking that by 570, I don't know, by at least episode, like, I don't know, 1,000 or 2,000 or something, I'm going to have this sucker down. So listeners, tell us what you think about Kindle versus Kindle Reader versus Kindle app versus Apple iBooks. I'm sure that at least some of our people are reading the books app on the Mac, and that some people are probably reading books on their phone. I just can't do it. It just drives me bananas. However you're consuming eBooks, or tell us why, if you've rejected eBooks, not just you never bothered to try them, but if you're like a book reader, a book buyer, and then you tried eBooks and then you went back to books, tell us what you think.
Yes, I would love to hear what people think.
Brian,
yeah. I want to tell you about the buying experience.
Okay, tell me about the buying experience. Which buying, the device?
The Kindle device itself.
This is the Kindle Reader that you're talking about.
Yeah, the physical Kindle Reader, my little 6-inch screen reader. So, I look online on the Amazon site and it says, you know, here it is. And here's our current special on it. I clicked buy now. 2 hours later, my Kindle arrives at my house and it's already set up for me. I take it out of the package. I turn it on and the next thing that happens is it says, hey, here's your network. Do you want me just to grab the password from your Echo? And I tap yes. And that's it. My device was set up, configured, ready to go. And I picked up, started reading on this device exactly where I was in the book from the Kindle Reader app on my iPad Mini.
What do you think would happen
experience
if I fired
could
up?
Not.
I'm sorry, you were still going. I was being a jerk.
I was totally on a roll. Yeah. The buying experience and setup experience could not have been easier and more transparent. Like, so much so that when I was done, my first thought was, Apple needs to be taking notes on this, because holy crap, this was hands down the best purchase and setup experience I've had of an electronic device for as long as I can remember.
So what would happen if I opened up my brand new Kindle at your house? Would it say, do you want me to grab Jeff's password? Or would it say, wait a minute, hold on a second. This device that we've already set up under Brian's name is not on Jeff's account, so we probably shouldn't offer him the password on the Alexa.
It would not offer you the password on the Alexa. And the reason it did for me was because the devices are all on my Prime account.
Yeah, okay.
And so it was just like, oh yeah, these are all Jeff's devices. Let's go ahead and offer to do that.
Have you had courier delivery from Apple?
No, I haven't. And it's because it actually takes long enough that it's faster for me to order something online and drive over to the store and pick it up.
Yeah, okay, like,
I can do same day and have something within a couple hours versus doing courier where I have to wait at least a day.
Oh, I've done same day stuff.
And maybe longer.
But I'm, you know, I live in this little bubble.
It's just, yeah.
Silicon Valley. So, you know, that's.
Yeah. And I live just a few blocks from an Apple store. Huh. So it's like super easy for me to do. And I've done this many times since the pandemic started, where I go online, I do my order and get my car and drive over and pick it up.
So there is, believe it or not, and I can't tell, I don't know how much of this is just sort of being like, you know, I'm looking to pick a fight or I'm rejecting the unfamiliar. Both of those are possibilities, but there's something about that setup that I find disquieting and not attractive. I would much rather have to trigger the setup myself.
You actually have that option when you do the purchase.
I would like to only have that
the option. Amazon website.
Yeah.
There's a checkbox.
Oh, I see.
Where you choose link device to your Amazon account to simplify setup. That's probably verbatim, but, it's a little checkbox. If it's unchecked, it shows up and you go through the setup process yourself. But if you do the little checkbox, it's automatically set up on your account for you. You take it out of the box and you're done.
All right. Well, listeners, is that where we are? Did we decide that, listeners?
I think you ran through the word listeners several times before you decided the word listeners was the one you wanted.
Excellent.
I also have to point out 577 is not a palindrome. The palindrome of that would be not lob.
Okay, I sit corrected. You can reach out to me on the Twitter at GeekTells. It's GeekTells. Jeff, where are you?
I am on the Twitters as Jay Gamut, also on the Instagrams.
And I am also GeekTells on the Instagrams. And you can find our Context Machine account at Context Machine on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. Feel free to, you know, tell me what a pretentious idiot, jerk, privileged person I am. I got it coming. And we would like to hear from you. Let me do this, Jeff. Boy, that was almost smooth this time. That is this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to add, comment on, question, you can write us over at the contextmachine.io. Should update that script. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And hey, Jeff, that's this week's show, man.
That's awesome. Hey, as long as we're ending the show,
yeah,
for the week, I want to give ZocDoc a shout out for being a new sponsor. Yeah. And I'm going to remind people, go to ZocDoc.com/ACM and download the ZocDoc app for free and start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available in 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/ACM. ZocDoc.com/ACM. And yes, it's as hard to say as it sounds.
It's fair. And you can post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/ACM. They were also a sponsor this week. We appreciate them. That's LinkedIn.com/ACM. Terms and conditions apply. And until next week.